Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Wild Garbage, an occasional sentimental garbage spin-off where I get drunk and talk to my friend Jen Cowney about the future of pop culture using the tarot. Hi Jen.
Hi Caroline. Thank you for having me again.
This is your third sentimental garbage appearance, but you've had many references over the years.
Yeah, honorary mentions.
Honorary mentions. If you ever are listening to an episode of Sentimental in the City and we refer to our extremely sexually liberated friend,
hello,
we're definitely talking about Jen Cowney.
Which everyone I know did get and texted me about, even though they anonymized me.
Is this perchance about you? So I'm popping back into your podcast feeds today for two reasons. First reason is that I'm going to be doing Cheltenham Literature Festival. Mm-hmm. Is that the full name? Is it
Literature
and Art Festival? I don't know.
No, Cheltenham Literature Festival.
Cheltenham Literature Festival, yeah. October 8th and 9th. I'm going to be doing a bunch of events. I'm going to be doing all these kind of panels that you float in and out on. But the two events that I'm kind of losing my shit about is I'm doing two live sentimental garbages in the same day. One is at 9:30 in the morning.
A classic time.
A classic time. Do you know people love hearing sort of slightly irreverent takes on pop culture? 9:30 in the morning?
Over breakfast.
Over breakfast? I'm just going to be hearing like the faint rattle of silverware cutting through an overdone egg while I talk about while I talk about like the future of like, you know, like a Tessa Moshfig. And and that will be with Alexandra Haddo, who did our Kate Moss episode. It's actually going to be really fun. We're going to have a great time. And then the next one is going to be 6:30. That's in the evening, a normal time. And that'll be a free event at Boston Tea Party. So you can kind of rock up to that anytime you want. And Jen Cowney will be there.
I will. I will be there.
And we'll be doing more of this, I suppose.
We'll be doing this again. And there probably will be some wine with it, which will make
it a little
more unhinged.
Yeah, it will be a slightly unhinged vibe. And the other reason I wanted to pop on is that season 8 of the podcast ended. It was a huge season for me. It was many, many listens. We got to 5 million downloads by the end of it. I know, nuts.
That's a lot of people.
It's very nutty and like also quite lucrative.
But I'm delighted for you.
Thank you very much. But I was just a bit burnt out, and also I've got a bunch of projects on at the moment. And I told people this on my Instagram, but I never really thought to tell them on the podcast where they mainly hear from me. So this is me telling you. I'll hopefully be back by sort of like maybe December, maybe January, with a full suite of new episodes. But for now, this is just to wet your whistle, really. Yeah. Might do another one. Might pop in because like I just love hanging out with you and chatting shit so much. And they're very low effort, let's face it.
It's like, get your Deliveroo.
Yeah, exactly. We're currently waiting on the Deliveroo right now.
Right.
It's not like, you know, arranging sort of going through your PR and then booking a studio time or whatever.
No, you simply message me.
I message you on Monday evening, it's now Wednesday evening. You know, it's very easy. Okay, so if you haven't listened to an episode like this before, go back to Wildcard 1. I think it's one of the best episodes ever.
I agree.
Me and Jen are big both fans of the tarot. We take random cultural concepts out of today it's a Tupperware.
It is a tiny little Tupperware. I usually use it for my lentil-based dolls.
Lentil-based dolls, yeah. Come through.
This is what all dolls are based on, but still.
We pick a subject out, we chat, and then we draw a card for its future or present or whatever.
Well, yeah, we draw a little tarot card for it. And in case you're being like, are they even qualified for this?
The answer is yes.
Actually really are.
Yes, what are your qualifications in this matter?
So I actually have a lovely certificate, which is an idea. Sorry, did I just kid you there? It's got really like gothic lettering.
Okay.
No, so I did
from Treadwells, I believe.
From Treadwells, from about I don't even know, 7-8 years ago. Yeah. But I have also written a book about tarot. Mm-hmm. So I'm an experienced tarot reader.
Yes, you have a manual out.
I do, called Wildcard, Let the Tarot Tell Your Story. And yes, it's got a really good shiny cover. So, I've written all about the tarot. I've spent a lot of time reading it, doing it. And I think that makes me deeply qualified to read tarot for like charcuterie or pubes or whatever comes out of the mixtape this week.
So wild card, sentimental garbage, wild garbage. You get
see what happens.
It's seamless. It's beautiful. all right, I'm going to pick the first.
What about your qualifications?
My qualifications? Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I can't just like let it all be on me. We're both very qualified readers.
So I also... I find it hard to know sometimes what it is people know of me outside of this podcast, but I write a young adult series called All Our Hidden Gifts. Two books are out and the third one coming.
I'm so excited for it.
It's actually bomb. It's actually so good. And you really helped inspire the arc of the third one. So I'm really excited for your opinion on it. But it's a supernatural story for teenagers, but many adults enjoy it and it involves the tarot.
Intense.
All right, so first box subject. Oh, I love this one. Okay. Fingernails.
I feel like we were very aligned in our minds because I nearly wrote nail varnish. Anyway, fingernails. How are your fingernails today?
Both of us have nothing good on.
Okay, but nothing good on, but also a short nail.
A short nail.
And this is the thing I feel quite strongly about.
Okay, so me too. I don't think we've ever discussed it. Okay. I hate what's going on right now. I'm sorry, with the massive caveat of you do you and beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and if it makes you feel elegant and powerful, then absolutely I hate it.
It makes me it's like a cat being stroked backwards. It is horrible fingernails on a blackboard when I see a fingernail that's not just short and
Maybe a nice colour on every now and then.
Maybe a nice colour on.
These long fake nails, the point...
They're layered.
The thick, pointy...
Ooh, like a talon just stuck on there.
I know. I do... And I have friends who do it, and it's fine.
Well, I have so many friends who do it, but I don't want it for myself.
I don't want it for myself, but I do get that feeling, in The Witches... I feel like a child recognising a witch. I'm like, oh, she's gonna turn me into something.
Yeah. Oh my god, no, I whenever I see it, I'm just ooh, it's good. You do you, me do me.
Yeah, me do me.
Me do me is no. I the second I get a little tiny bit too long, I'm like, clip, clip, clip. Clip, clip, clip.
Clip, clip, clip.
I also, for a long time though, I worked as a bookseller.
And right.
There is nothing worse. As a bookseller, you do many things, but one of the biggest things you do is shelve books all fucking day long.
Yeah.
And getting a fingernail, you've got to pack them in tight. Oh, you don't want anything that can catch.
Yeah.
You don't want anything that can bend backwards.
Yeah.
And that's the origins of my sort of body horror around a long fingernail. But
I have a significant sort of sense of body horror around the nails and nail beds and the kind of the general hygiene and sort of the flaky skin bits and the hangnail. Really? Sorry, you're uncomfortable and I don't want to make that. But I remember as well a few years ago I tried to desensitize myself. Do you know, exposure therapy or whatever, because I knew I was kind of freaked out by it, and I went for a couple gel manicures. And I was she was pushing back and paring back my cuticles, and it's we don't know what they're for yet.
Yeah, there's a reason they're there.
The purpose has not been revealed to us as humans yet.
There's a reason
those cuticles are there.
Why they've got them on there. And I don't care if they're not aesthetic. I want my fingernails to be intact.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to be long.
Why are we being such cunts about this, do you think?
As you say, someone else, totally fine.
Yeah.
Unless... it's a man who's going to put his fingers in my vagina, in which case it's simply...
Yeah, that's a no.
It cannot happen. But it's also I don't know, if you've got a dog, which you do, you have to keep those nails short. You know?
That's it. Yeah, maybe
you trim them.
It's just a different lifestyle.
It's not practical.
I pick up four shits a day with a plastic bag. Maybe I'm just not the audience for this.
How do you type? How do you, get an eyelash out of your eye? How do you masturbate?
With the pads of your fingers, I guess.
But what if you accidentally poke yourself?
I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, I went to the dark place quite quickly.
All right, let's pull a tarot.
Oh God, yeah, we've got to actually do that.
What is the, so, okay, I mean, generally, I mean,
well, what's the tarot thinking about fingernails?
What's the tarot thinking? Because I'm thinking
this
that, like,
speaks to me. Six of Cups. Nostalgia. Childhood. No children have long, long witch nails.
Uh-huh. That's true. That's true. Okay, here's what I'm interpreting from this.
Okay.
I remember when I was a child and I used to get the Sabrina the Teenage Witch magazine.
Oh.
I know you lived abroad a lot as a kid, so
I also wasn't allowed fancy things like that.
Fancy things like the Sabrina magazine.
My parents were very like, ugh, no, it's £1.99. We simply shocked.
It was...
You can go to the library.
It was magazines at their very peak.
Mm.
You got so much free makeup with it, and it was really fun makeup. It was like transfers and glitter and nice stuff. But one issue, you got a nail pen that was like it was like just silver goo that you would draw on your nails.
Lost my fucking tiny mind for that.
Yeah, and you just draw little stars on your nails or little half moons. And that is what I want to see. Short, stubby nails.
Which is like joy. Just drawings on them. I think this is like... I wonder if the problem with nails is that they've become some kind of weird symbol of like sexuality, and they become freighted with meaning. And they're not just like... Sometimes it's nice to see your fingernails and have them be a bit jazzy.
Yeah.
Like that's the most I can find from my fingernails. I paint them and I'm like, it'll last for 3 days.
Yes, yes. No, I do that. And like, I've got a friend who... She always has beautiful, not just fingernails, but hands. Like, she always has lots of stacked, beautiful rings going on. And she changes her nail varnish a lot. Mm-hmm. But they are quite short. And she's like, oh, well, she's a writer as well. She's like, all I do is type all day. And I want my hands to look nice.
The tools of the trade.
The tools of the trade. And, like, yeah. I would like to adopt more of that energy.
Childish joy in your fingernails.
Childish joy. Now, childish this, like, joy. Weird... disabling, I feel, and highfalutin.
It's the high heels of the hands.
The high heels of the hands!
Though, side note, toenails, absolutely, fucking all the time, paint them different colours.
Really?
Yeah.
I prefer to not think of them ever.
No, I quite...
I clip them, but I don't want to think about them.
Oh, I quite like, I feel as though I like a foot to be...
Really?
Yeah.
The only time I think about that part of my body is when I'm going to a wedding and I shave my big toe. As a gift to the bride.
And just like, bye. Bye.
Goodbye. I'm wearing a strappy sandal for the first time. It's nice May 31st, you know.
Just Mr. Frodo.
Oh, Mr. Frodo.
No, I say I love toenail polish because I just think it gives them a bit of jazz, those piggies. But it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, it's a whole different
thing. I don't file them into points.
It's a different energy. It's different. Mm-hmm. All right, next one.
Okay, next one.
We've already alienated so many people.
Oh, no, I feel bad now.
Actually, no, it's your turn to pick one. Sorry, I'm rustling around, but it is your turn.
Okay, I'll rustle instead. What have we got? What have we got in here? I'm so glad fingernails came up. I could do a whole podcast just on that, to be honest. What's in here? Oh, jeans. Quite similar vibe in that it's very much about fashion.
Yeah, we're, yeah.
So look, I'm a person who has historically not worn jeans very much. And so I'm always curious about them because everyone's like, the blue jean, it's a neutral, it goes with everything. Yeah. I don't know that it does. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is does it? The weird optical illusion, I'm very much a jeans hunk.
Yeah, but you've got the ability to wear a jean and it... like.
We all have the ability to wear a jean.
Yeah, but you don't wear a jean.
If Fran Lebowitz can wear a jean, then we can all wear a jean, yeah, you know?
But when I wear a jean, I feel like I'm wearing a jean.
Right. So the weird thing about the jean is that, like, when you are getting dressed... For me, anyway. I'm getting... Because it has become such a neutral in my mind that it's basically blank space.
I don't think it is, though.
You get dressed in the morning and it feels like, here's my outfit, I'm fine. And then you see a photograph of yourself and you're
yes!
like... Yes! Nuts.
Yeah, like, it's not actually a neutral. It's a specific, like... weird
workwear. You're choosing
from,
to
like,
put blue trousers on. Yeah.
Early 19th century America or whatever. I have no idea what the history of the jean is, but that's why I've just...
Yeah, it is that, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's not a neutral. It never has been.
Yeah.
And you can really date a photo down to the sort of the year, maybe even the month, by the style of a jean.
It's interesting, though, that how it's like such an emotional thing for... I'm gonna say probably. I mean, maybe men have emotional feelings about jeans as well, but definitely women, because like the styles of jeans are mysterious and off, odd. obviously, I think we're, as millennial women, maybe not you because you don't wear them, but...
I do have some jeans.
You do have some, but we're all having this existential crisis over whether or not skinny jeans are okay.
Oh, God, no, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? And then people say things like mom jeans, which I can't say with mom the right jeans. Accent.
Yeah.
And
there's boyfriend jeans.
What's the
and
difference?
And girlfriend jeans.
What's the difference?
It's hot. And then you go into like different shops and it's like, this is the Sadie. And you're like, it's very stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yeah, like, I kind of wish the tyranny of jeans would end and that we could all just embrace another trouser.
Like a chino?
No. Now you say it, I take it back.
I think
okay,
about,
what's the tarot think
what's
about
the tarot
jeans?
Think about
Your
jeans?
Your turn to pick a tarot
okay.
card.
Blah, 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 blah. The Three of Pentacles.
The pentacles are the suit of the body, which is right for jeans. Mm-hmm. And the three
is right for jeans
because they go there.
Yeah.
The three is all about kind of working together to create something.
Mm-hmm.
So quite often in tarot you'll see it represented as three people building a cathedral together, and I think jeans are one of the ultimate cathedrals of modern fashion. Like
that is like something Iris Apfel would say, and then it would be embroidered into a pillow.
If anyone would like to embroider it, go for it. But they've been built over so many years.
Like, they have been built.
Jeans weren't built in a day.
By they were built by collective imagination.
By collective imagination and by teamwork and by constant sort of approval from others. And jean fashion, the reason we sit there and go, are skinny jeans in? I don't know. What does a mum jean? Because the thing about a jean is it's defined not by whether it looks good on you and whether you like it. It's defined by everybody else.
See, okay, all right. I've got something.
Okay.
So, all other fashion, right? Mm-hmm. We all know the Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
Marvel on fashion, which I know so little about fashion that, like, there could be many reasons why the Miranda Priestly rant about, like, how Oscar De La Renta used cerulean in his runway show and then it filtered down to whatever bragging basement you pulled that lumpy blue sweater out of. I'm sure there's many arguments as to why that's not technically true, but as far as I'm aware, I'm a fucking pig.
Yeah, I'm like,
that's how fashion works.
I've used it in client presentations.
It's the best speech ever made in the best film ever made.
Absolutely.
But that is true of so many trends. Like you pick up Sunday Times Style and they tell you what's going to happen in fall. And then, lo and behold, there they are. There's the oversized jumpers with the whatever the bits on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the styles
are. But a jean can't be influenced by those
people. A jean cannot be influenced, and it reminds me of this quote I heard Zadie Smith say, where she said she was talking about Winston Churchill.
Okay, I am stoked to hear this.
Where she said that how the Tories were trying to secure after the World War II, obviously Labour had the historic victory. And the Tories were like, oh, you know, we helped one win World War II kind of thing. It's like, no,
people won it.
People won World War II, not Churchill.
Yeah.
And that's the same with jeans.
And I think this...
The people decide who the jeans are.
It's choice. And, you know...
And that's why we get so confused, because the magazines say one thing, but the people do another.
Kendall Jenner might be wearing a jean so low that you can see her
Or
mom's.
So high, it's at her throat.
But the people, it's the people's jeans.
We the people decide.
The people's republic of denim.
It is the only truly democratic thing in our society.
There's a reason why I might embrace it more.
And they will tell you the straight leg is in, or the high waist is in, or
I
the low waist is in.
What they say.
All
like
it matters
on
is.
The streets.
What's on the streets?
What's on the mean streets? Tara, you are so wise.
And that's why the Three of Pentacles is the perfect card for jeans.
It really is.
I hope this works in a live setting.
I guess we'll find out
I guess we'll find
soon.
Out.
Oh,
Is the
delivery? Our delivery is on the way.
Okay, we got one more and then we'll pause it and then we'll reconvene. Let's hope this is what people want from their mid-season break. Tiny dogs.
Tiny dogs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, tiny... Have we talked about this?
A bit? I mean, I know you're a big fan of tiny dogs.
Yes. So...
you have
one. We recorded a Sentimental Garbage episode on tiny dogs.
Oh God, I didn't know that when I put it in.
No. Of course, I'm amazed you didn't know this, but because it was the great misery of my life. Laura Thompson, who is one of the coolest women I've ever met... and she wrote a book about the Mitfords and she wrote a book about heiresses. She came on to talk about the cultural history of tiny dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whatever happened in the studio that day, it just didn't work. Yeah, or got lost or something.
Okay, that explains why I didn't know about it, but I'm surprised you didn't tell me about this.
I know, it was so upsetting.
It was a pain too deep.
And then it was kind of too deep, and then I kind of said to her, like, oh, come back in, but then we kind of couldn't find the right day, and then it sort of fell by the wayside. Maybe she'll come back in, but I have so much to say.
Okay, do you want to talk about it first, or do you want me to put a tarot card first so that we can...
I would like something to say first.
Okay.
Which is that culture is cruel to the tiny dog.
It really is, which is why I put it in there.
She is cruel to the tiny dog, and I am the custodian of a tiny dog. I would call her small. Yeah. I wouldn't call her tiny. I would call a chihuahua or...
I mean, you don't... The chihuahua is unusually small.
Yes.
I would say...
Would you put her in the tiny category?
I'd put her in the tiny category, and I am an occasional custodian of Sylve.
You are. You're
I'm her holiday weekend.
You are.
I'm her beloved aunt sometimes.
But, the thing about the tiny dog is that they became sort of famous over the years, and they have these spike moments in history. You saw it with Jean Harlow in the 1920s, you see it with Paris Hilton in the noughties, of like, they become associated with rich women who don't have babies, and rich women who are highly mobile and go places, and so these women have to take home with them, and the way they do that is that they bring their dog with them, and the tiny dog goes in the big handbag, and that becomes a way in which we like picture idle, gross women in the culture is common brain.
It's very lazy category.
It is, it totally is.
To be like, she's got a tiny dog.
And the same things that we say about the tiny dog are the same things we say about the women. It's like, it doesn't work. It's too loud. It's not fit for purpose. It's sort of like weird. It's out of place.
They were bred for purpose, and some of them were bred to be lap dogs, but many tiny dogs were also bred to be working dogs.
Yeah.
For one thing. And working, you're still working if you're a companion.
You are.
Sex work is work.
No, sex work is work. Next time I see a pug on the street, I'm going to be like, sex work is work.
But they have a job to do.
Yeah, they do. It's to bring joy to the hearts
it
of millions.
It is.
And
I do find joy brought to me by tiny dogs. I do sometimes worry about like sitting on one.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then I like a sturdy tiny dog like Sylve. Yes. I'm like, she would tell me.
Yes. Yes. And just like... I think that as well, there's this thing with like, when people are like, I love big, messy dogs.
Yes. I mean, I do. I like them too.
I like them too. I like a big
dog. I like
dog.
Every dog.
Hey, hashtag they're all good dogs, Brayden.
Hashtag all dogs.
Hashtag all dogs. They're all good dogs.
All dogs are good dogs.
All dogs are good dogs. However, I do feel like there is this sort of like thing when girls really go for it on the I love big dogs kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, where it's like, I love beer and hot dogs.
I love beer, yeah.
It's very Gone Girl.
It's very like, Gone Girl.
Yeah, I want a Mastiff.
Yeah.
A Great Dane.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And also, and no one ever talks about it as well, when people are like, oh, I love a big dog. I have to get my big dog or whatever. It's like, you're talking about big money. You're talking about...
No, you're right. And you're talking about big shits.
Big shits.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just think as well... Gavin said this to me recently, and I thought it was absolutely nuts. And I was like, "This is why I love you." And he was like, "I don't like big dogs." And I said, "Why?" He was like, "A big dog is like a moron cousin, but a small dog is like your little Pokemon."
He does speak truly.
He only speaks the truth.
He loves a pocket princess.
Of
dogs.
I love that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Should we pull a card for the tiny dogs?
Yeah.
Because I think there's going to be a lot more to say about them. Okay, what card? Oh, this one speaks to me. Interesting!
The devil! Honestly, fits.
It really does. It
really fits.
The devil is all about breaking out of patterns that contain you and ways of thinking and cycles that are not serving you. And I think there's a thing here. It is time for tiny dogs to break out from their chains.
Yeah.
Not literally. I don't want an overrun world of just dogs everywhere.
Yeah.
Or do I? Oh, I'm not sure. Mm. But there's a thing there that we've already touched on of the way that they are seen.
Yeah. And the way they become shorthand for the women who adore them.
I just think it's time for us to to remake that world for the tiny dogs?
You know what? We do.
How are we going to do this?
Well, here's the thing. We are, and I'm sorry for many of the listeners, this may alienate the people who are left behind from the fingernail chat. We are living in the middle of a great poodle breed, poodle mix backlash. I am having this conversation a lot. I mean, I spend a lot of time in dog parks talking to dog owners, frazzled dog owners who adopted during the pandemic or slightly before. And they've got their cockapoos or their cavapoos or their whatever. And they're all nuts. These dogs are very nutty.
But they're also very aloof and not friendly.
I don't love them personally.
I've met some great poo dogs.
Oh yeah,
Juno, if you're listening, love you. But also quite a few.
If you're listening,
you never know.
Some people leave this on for their dogs, you know.
But a poo dog is quite an aloof dog, as well as being quite a high energy dog.
Yeah, and I have spoken to quite a few people who were like, yeah, people sort of said they're hypoallergenic and that they were good for the and then it sort of turns out to whether or not they bought it from like not a great breeder or maybe.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The mother was overbred or whatever the fuck happened. They are not having a great time with that dog.
No.
And that is sad for them, and I hope they all hold on and make it work and get the training and all that. But it does mean that the great little dogs will come roaring over the horizon.
And obviously, the poo dog has its own, which is what I'm just generically.
The poo dog.
Any poo dog.
The poo dog.
The poo dog has its problems.
Yeah.
But one thing I would certainly say about a small dog is I love a little small mongrel dog. I think some of the problems with small dogs, and you look at like a pug, for example,
yeah,
whose eyes can literally just fall out.
Do you just surprise him?
You know, well, no, I've heard it's horrible stories, and his bottoms need to be milked.
Oh, the milking monthly. Of the glands.
The milking's bad.
The milking's bad.
I think there's something there also about kind of, for me and the devil, about we've got to get away from these pedigree lines. Like a little dog with a little bit of like. We know what they mostly are. Sylvie, mostly JRT, but she's definitely not full Jack Russell Terrier.
No, she's not. She's probably a Corgi. She's probably a Chihuahua. Probably something else.
And
that's
where the magic happens.
And that's where the magic happens.
A little dog where you're like, she's got a few bits in her.
Yeah.
Who knows what they are.
Yeah.
Let's break those kind of pedigree circles and let's get into little dogs of unknown or
little dogs of unknown origin.
Little dogs of unknown origin. The fucking best dogs of all.
So we're back from our quick Deliveroo break.
It was wonderful.
We're energised. We're ready to go.
We are.
Whose turn is it at the Tupperware?
You picked tiny dogs last time, so I think it's my turn to pick.
Sorry, I feel like I really hogged the mic on tiny dogs.
No, I think you had important things to say.
Yeah.
And I was glad of it. Oh, who's in here?
Oh my god. Okay.
Margaret Atwood.
So I put in Margaret Atwood because I figured this is an advertisement for the Cheltenham Literature Festival and we should have some literature chat.
Is she there?
No. Oh. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Who's even looked at the programme?
Think about that woman. Oh, I've never met her.
Great hair, I think.
Great hair. And a phenomenal contribution to literature.
Yeah.
Which is what you would say before you're about to say something kind of bitchy.
And are you?
Yeah.
Go!
I just feel like I know, I've known a bunch of journalists who've interviewed her. Your friend, Fiona, who's your collaborator, has interviewed her in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an older lady, and mm-hmm. she's still very much on the events.
Yeah.
Sort of track.
Yeah,
she will, she will be at the festivals.
Yeah.
She will be the big ticket Saturday night item at the festivals. And I, from the interviews I've seen and from the people I've talked to who have talked to her, she is so fucking unpleasant. And I get if, like, part of you is like she seems like incredibly rude to people. I know people who've been, like, very rude to her. I know somebody who, like, you know, because obviously in The Handmaid's Tale, the symbol of the red gown and the white hat thing became such a thing for abortion rights. And I think the Irish abortion movement, obviously, that became a thing. And I've heard a story of somebody going up to her at a dinner and being like, an Irish woman, and being like, you know, we're so thrilled that you're here. This is, your book has meant a lot to people, like with the TV show coming out and everything. It's been a really galvanizing influence on culture, we think. And Margaret being like, it's a TV show, get a grip.
See, I kind of respect that a little bit.
No, I feel like if you don't like people, stay in Canada.
Like, there are no people there.
Like, I know
only bears and raccoons. So this is not tarot related, but it's something that I think you will understand. I think that Margaret Atwood is to you as Emma Thompson is to me, because I consider, as we may discuss, I consider Emma Thompson to be the greatest charlatan of our times.
And
I
your enemy, your personal
enemy. Like, I cannot watch a film with her in. If I see her doing an interview, I have to, like, skip over it. I can't see her. I think she's got an Emma Bridgewater mug at home that she had personally made that says National Treasure on it. And right. I'm so sick of her. And I've never met her. We've talked about this before.
I know, but I want you to tell them why.
I cannot tell you what it is other than I think she has an extraordinarily bad vibe. And I think she's so self-satisfied. And I'm so worried now that Emma Thompson's going to hear your podcast.
Yeah,
and
no,
then
she's
get
not.
Into a bitch fight with him. But she's not. But she'd be like, who is this? I think sometimes you just, there's a famous person and something about them
just absolutely
doesn't work for you. And you always find it baffling that I have a big issue with Emma Thompson.
Yeah, I do find it baffling.
And I think I'm listening to your Margaret Atwood beef, and I'm like, I just haven't got enough time to think about Margaret Atwood.
No, you're fair enough.
Maybe it's fine.
Maybe I'm too deeply entrenched in, like, publishing circles.
No, but
something.
I think, you know, you yourself as a writer of feminist body horror and fiction. And I'm going to use the defense that you use on me whenever I get annoyed at, like, an English Rose actress and be like, does it remind you of you?
Shit. Well, fuck.
What does the tarot have to say about it? I'm going to pull a card
and
see.
Before we fight, I guess. I hate to be perceived. Judgment. Oh, God. It's the judgment card. Well, this is very apt. Oh, dear.
The judgment card.
Seems I have been told.
It's not actually about judging others. It's about how you judge yourself.
Oh.
It's about making peace with the things that bother you. It's about...
Okay, I'm ready to talk.
Okay. Tell us.
I'm ready to talk. Okay. All right.
This is like a bonus subscribers only.
This is bonus subscribers only.
This is not OnlyFans.
But this is... Okay, so I have actually... I mean, it's not just here. I have heard a couple of, like, podcast interviews with journalists I really respect who are interviewing Margaret Atwood, and she's being, like, really cunty to them for, like, no reason.
I think I have.
And they've clearly done their research, and I'm like, why are you being a dick? And I do think part of me is, like... And I do get into... I obviously am not at the scale of Margaret Atwood, but I do get interviewed about my work sometimes, and I'm so terrified that the person doesn't like me or wouldn't like me, and I maybe my bitchiness towards Margaret Atwood, Peg Atwood if you will, is because I am so terrified of being unlikable to people, and I can't fathom why she is so comfortable being unlikable. And I guess it's because she's been alive for a million years and she's seen heaven and death, you know?
And she's decided that actually she can sit with other people's displeasure and maybe she can withstand it and survive
Withstand it. And maybe people have been like, weird and cunty and dismissive about her work for years, and maybe it's boring to have like a bunch of like 27 year olds suddenly decide that you're like their god and savior while they're not actually intellectually engaging with your body of work, and they're just glomming onto a TV show that was made. Maybe that's frustrating for her. Maybe she's got no time for it.
Maybe she has.
I've gone full circle.
Do you think you can maybe make peace with that? Is there some baggage you can leave behind as you move on towards your final moment, which is this what this card in the tarot is all about?
Wow. Yes. I think we've done some good work here today.
We've done some good work here today.
I'm pleased. Good.
Have we gone completely off the
weekend? Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but that's fine.
It may be that there's this sort of one of those like BBC broadcast things of like,
beep.
The second half of the show was not worth listening to.
We decided.
We just really got our own like prejudices out there about various celebrities.
If you want to talk about various prejudices against various celebrities,
Who's in the box now?
This is Joe Alwyn.
Joe Alwyn, is that the
That's Taylor Swift's boyfriend,
the sleek golden haired boyfriend of Taylor Swift?
Yes, looks eerily like her. Yeah.
I have not noticed that before. Yeah.
Every relationship that's worth anything, they look like siblings, and I include myself in that.
Do you think so?
Sometimes me and Gav take photographs together and we look like brother and sister, and it's weird. And what's also weird is that my elder brother Shane, I have two brothers, one of them is often on Instagram because he lives in London, and the other one isn't because he lives in Cork. He and I look very alike in that we're kind of gingery.
Yeah.
And we have a similar kind of eye line. And he is with a girl who looks a lot like him.
So she looks like you.
So she looks like me. And one time the four of us got dinner together and we look like flowers in the fucking attic. It's so weird.
Okay, I must see a picture of this.
Yeah.
Joe Alwyn. I mean...
The
thing about him is... Like, on the one hand, he's been trying so hard to break into the limelight.
Yeah.
And failing. On the other, he seems, like, very good-natured about being Taylor Swift's boyfriend. I can't help but respect that from him.
I think a lot of us are on that page.
A lot of, like, you know, part of you goes, oh, who is Joe? And part of you goes, as, you know, maybe the same for you. I have definitely dated a number of men in the past, and I'm not an award-winning international recording artist, but men who have been genuinely threatened by me earning more money than them, or like just doing a job that sounds more like professional.
Right. Yeah. And I've had like weeks in my, or months in my jobs or whatever, where, and I have the most supportive like husband to be in the world.
Oh, who to be.
Yeah. My who to be. And I've had days where I've been like, or weeks where I've had like, I have to really ration out my good news, because I'm in a profession where sometimes you get no news for months and sometimes you get lots of good news at once,
and it's marvelous
but if you live with somebody it can become exhausting because you have like, you can't pop the champagne bottle every other day. You just can't. And what is that like for Joe Alwyn? I'm so curious
but I just, on some level, I have such great respect for him for actually living the thing that so many men claim they do, which they don't, which is really genuinely loving a successful and extraordinary woman.
Yeah.
And not a successful and extraordinary woman who, crucial caveat asterisk, is slightly less successful and extraordinary than they are.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit of props for Joe Alwyn there.
That's why I put him in. I think it's fascinating because you do like I know, for example, Olivia Colman has like, I don't know why, but this has just got back to me through a grapevine of some kind. She has a husband who's like, he's just been trying to write a novel for 10 years and he's just kind of in the shed or whatever. And apparently, you know, they collaborate every now and then, but she just adores him.
Yeah.
But like the fact that, and that's cool as well, but like the fact that Joe Alwyn is like genuinely trying to have like a really legitimate thespian acting career, and he's trying to keep that as separate as he possibly can from the fact that his girlfriend is the most famous woman in the world.
Absolutely.
And he's not resentful. He doesn't seem resentful of that. It's just like a separate two jobs.
Yeah.
Like.
And he's just, he's fine at what he does.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean? Great. He's great in Catherine Cole Birdie. Okay,
can't wait to
see
it.
He's really good in it.
I've never seen a thing with him in and been like, oh, he's bad. I've always been like, and oh, he's one of those people who, when you see him, you're like, who's that kind of like, strangely soft and non-aggressively threatening handsome man. And then you Google, you're like, oh, it's Joe Alwyn.
Yeah.
He just sort of like, he just appears and stuff. And you're like, oh, is he a bit familiar?
Yeah.
But also a little bit forgettable.
Yeah.
But just like, he just seems, to be honest, I think probably good vibes from that man.
Good vibes.
I'm a big fan of Taylor, so absolutely just like,
yeah,
love their love. What does the tarot say about
it? What does the tarot say for Joe Alwyn?
Are you going to pull, going to pull a little cardy card?
The Page of Swords.
Interesting.
So pages in the tarot are very much the students of the tarot, the young people in the tarot. Yeah. They're burgeoning, they're transitioning
not,
stages.
They're also just not contained by expectations of what they should be and they shouldn't be.
Mm.
And the Page of Swords is particularly kind of like, he's the ideas kid, you know?
Yeah.
He's all like, what if I did this? This could be fun. And there's no real like shame or embarrassment in the pages.
Oh, that's so interesting. Oh, Joe.
Okay, a thing that I am very aware of for Joe Alwyn is that he has worked as a songwriter, hasn't he, for Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Quite secretly.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe he's just got some irons in the fire that he's not telling anyone about because he's not, maybe not even as motivated by fame as we're assuming he is as a famous actor.
Nice.
Maybe he just likes having good ideas and being like, what if I just wrote a song about that?
Yeah.
I just did a thing. Maybe he's going to get really into woodworking. Who
not
knows?
Super interested in his career or his life having a shape.
Yeah.
Like a recognisable pattern.
Is he just following things?
And I think we can all use a bit more of that.
We should all be a bit more Joe Alwyn.
We could all... Yeah. Fucking soft king. I love him.
He is a soft king. Or a spiky page.
A spiky page.
A soft king. Okay. Love that. Did not expect that to go that way.
All right. Let's do two more.
Okay. Two more. Love to do this.
Endless fun. These are all mine, I feel.
Carbs. Love them.
Love
them. Won't hear a word against them. You chose the wrong person if you're hoping for a spirited debate on carbs.
Is that beginning to pass? Do you think the female relationship with carbohydrates? Oh, is being this like fraught one when it's just not fraught?
Is it passing to men? I don't know.
Oh,
is
God.
It, is
all
it
the men. The thing
back
is.
And forth?
I feel like.
Why are men so into protein?
Why are men so into protein? We don't need that much of it.
Nobody needs that much. And also, I've lived with men, and when they're doing all the protein shakes,
yeah,
we all know what happens.
Just
next.
When you have drums of whey protein,
it's just awful in the toilets experience.
It's not a good time.
It's not a good time. Yeah. It goes right through you, and they're all like gains. Why?
Women need to stop obsessing about carbohydrates. Men need to stop obsessing about protein. But we all need to obsess about fiber.
Oh my God. Sorry. You gave that to me.
We all need to obsess about fiber. You know it.
You gave that to me because that is the one... That is the hill that I die on. That is my seven of swords. It's fiber. Mm. I don't give a fuck if I get 2 grams of protein in a day. Well, you probably should get more than that. But fiber. Fiber is what will make you feel delightful. Like, the king of pentacles is not the king of... He's not the king of potatoes. He's not the king of rice. And he's not the king of sourdough bread. He's the king of legumes.
Legume.
And pulses.
Okay. Let me just put this out there for the... This is getting a bit nuts, actually. It's getting a bit sloppy.
I fully restate my position that the first half of this is the only thing that will ever make it into the world.
I'm just saying, I think that like it can be difficult sometimes to change up your diet, but just buy a couple of those Merchant Gourmet lentil sachets, chop up some veg and put it all in a roasting tin together with some olive oil, and then at the very end, just get some feta and a bit of leaf and toss it in together.
Beautiful.
And you'll have the best little dinner.
Do we need a little bonus one to finish us off?
I think we need a bonus one, Just a quickie. But I am a bit pissed now, so...
Yeah, I think we've been pissed for some time now. Don't worry, darling.
Don't worry, darling.
The film!
The film!
The cultural event!
It's been beset by woe.
It has been truly beset by woe.
It's been Jacqueline beset.
It really has. And I've not seen it. Have you seen it?
No, nobody's seen it.
Will you see it?
No.
Why not?
You know,
I've read the whole plot, so I know what happens in it.
I have read the whole plot too. But I remember seeing the trailer a long time ago and being like, this looks interesting. And what makes me upset about it with the Olivia Wilde thing is I think Olivia Wilde is an intelligent woman of some taste.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed Booksmart a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think,
I love Booksmart.
Yeah, it was great. And I think she's probably like many directors who, you know, they're on their sophomore feature, like her. Probably her taste probably outstrips her talent maybe at certain points, but I do think she's fucking interesting.
Yeah.
And it's all been now reduced down to this like
bitch fight,
right? And it makes me sad because women are, it's like Don't Worry Darling is like a sci-fi futurist type of movie. When is the last time a woman was allowed to direct any kind of genre film like that?
Yeah.
And it does make me a bit depressed that we can't just enjoy it as a 3 to 4 star film, you know?
Why couldn't Interest have been a film that we could maybe have watched and maybe not have watched? And why is it now
I guess because when you start fucking the most famous man in the world,
is he the most famous man in the world?
Yes. He's the most famous man in the world.
That's fair. I can't think of a more famous one right now. But isn't that awful that's what it comes down to?
It makes me a bit sad, that one.
Yeah.
I do want to know what Florence Pugh knows.
I do too. But also, is this a safe space?
This is a safe space.
With you and your listeners.
Yes.
Look, I personally think, time will probably cast a different light on this. I think that probably there were 2 to 10 in this.
What exactly do you mean?
I feel that Olivia Wilde has probably made some mistakes, but I think Florence Pugh probably has as well.
What do you think she's done?
I don't know.
Go on, put your finger in the wind. What do you think she's done?
I just think Florence Pugh has increasingly got bratty drama school energy. I actually thought the Aperol being filmed doing an Aperol spritz whilst you were blowing off a press conference, I was like, that's not classy. I'm sorry, that's not actually.
Oh, I missed that bit.
Oh, she did.
There's so many arms. That's where a lot of this drama
is coming from. Is like, oh, Florence Pugh was seen like snubbing Olivia in this way. And I was like, okay, either go off the project or just like support this other female director who you are working for and who is part of your career. Yeah. Don't just make a whole thing out of being like, I'm too important and good for this. And I don't know. I think,
You think time will out?
I don't think time will out. I don't think anyone's a villain here.
Yeah.
But I think at the moment, the media narrative is that Olivia Wilde done something awful and Florence was the, like, youthful, innocent victim. And actually, I think probably there were it's Hollywood, 2 big personalities who both probably did some slightly weird stuff. And at the moment, the media sides with one, but if we've been taught anything in our lifetimes, it's that doesn't last forever. And I don't know, if I were in Florence Pugh's shoes, I wouldn't be
shoes.
I wouldn't be assuming that it couldn't like come back to bite me at some point.
Oh wow!
And that's my slightly drunk take on it. Is I have no beef with any of them. But I do feel that when I keep seeing stuff of like, Olivia Wilde making all these mistakes, it's like, wow.
Yeah, I remember.
Clearly there's more than just that on this set. You can't just, there's a lot of stuff that's gone down. And I'm sure some of the male people involved in this might have had something to do with it as well.
It's probably
not just about these 2 women having a disagreement. But yeah, I think they're all great, but I think there's been a lot of people playing other people.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
That I find distasteful. I'm like, if you're going to work with a director, if you've got a problem, you leave the project.
Yeah.
And if you have a problem to leave the project, then support the project. Don't be like dissing it in public, essentially.
This is the thing. I feel like people are so comfortable with tearing down female directors. Is that like, the thing about a director is that it is, at the end of the day, the buck stops with them, and like it is their responsibility to get the vision of the project on screen. And if it doesn't work out, they are the person that you're becoming. Unless someone gives a notably bad performance, that's who the buck stops with. And like that means, as a job, it can often be like you have to be aggressive. You have to be like really tell people what you have to be a very big boss, and people are still fucking uncomfortable with doing that job. And so when women do that job, they have to be so soft and so gentle and such a babysitter and such a mommy. And when someone isn't doing that, I've seen it and I've heard that from like various friends who work in TV and film, that like people just freak out when someone won't be mommy, and they're just like, no, this is my vision, we're doing too many such and such at this location, we need to move on, let's go, you know.
It's a very,
people fucking hate that when it comes from a woman.
Totally. I work in advertising and I work with male and female creative directors, and there's a lot more permissibility for men to behave in more diva-ish ways, essentially, or ways that are more about being true to their creative vision, whereas women have to be a lot more softly.
Yeah.
So I have, without knowing anything about it, because how could I, more sympathy with Olivia Wilde than I think the media.
I will automatically
right
side with the woman who's pushing 40.
I will kind of. I will side with her, but I won't assume that she's actually she's done something horribly wrong, I think. Yeah. I think probably it just sounds like it was a bad set. But also, sorry, but how, like, you know how often you read in a newspaper 10 years after the fact about how toxic a Hollywood set was?
Mm.
Like, every film.
Every film.
They had the unfortunate thing of it coming out pre-premiere.
That's the thing. It's an inherently fascistic...
It's a horrible culture.
Yeah. But, like, but it is the thing. I do understand it where it's, like, if something needs to... As I said, if the buck stops with one person, that creates an inherently fascistic sort of way of working where it all is a pyramid that goes to one human being at the very top.
Yeah.
And it's very few people that doesn't corrupt on some level. And you just have to hope that it has corrupted them in a way that makes good art and doesn't make you too uncomfortable.
Absolutely. You know the one thing we forgot to do there?
Pull a tarot card?
A tarot card for Don't Worry, Darling. Just in case the previous section was legally inadmissible.
Three of Cups! The card of friendship!
The card specifically of female friendship.
Seems like these two guys just need to work it out.
I think there's something here that's quite important.
Patch it up, ladies.
Patch it up, because...
You are worried, darling. this has been wild garbage, and it has been wild garbage.
But it's been a great testament to our friendship and what a safe space it is.
And whether it's maybe we'll want to come to a free event in the Midlands.
I don't even call it the Midlands, but close to. We'll be there.
We'll be there. Will you be there?
Will you be there? And what we might even do is allow people to put their own piece of paper into our Smash Hits biscuit tin.
And you can hear our ice cold take on it.
Ice cold, and then our tarot take on it.
Yeah. Is that something I'm having?
God knows, Caroline.
God be with you, everyone.
What I will say, though, is what an honour. What a privilege.
What a time this has been.
To read from this Tupperware box with you.
This is like going to a friend's house to do some knitting or a puzzle, but it's broadcast to 5 million people, so that's something.
It is. Let's see how it goes.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, friends.
This has been Sentimental Garbage, and I've been Caroline O'Donoghue. You can follow me on Twitter at Zaroline, that's CZAROLINE, or email me about the podcast at sentimentalpod@gmail.com. This has been a Justice for Dumb Women podcast. Thank you to Harry Harris for the jingle, Gavin Day for the artwork, and Hannah Varro for the mixing.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.